The passage that we're going to be looking at is in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will create great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered on them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is an interesting story about the shepherds, and obviously, most of us who've been around a while have actually probably heard lots of sermons about the shepherds and the angels and all of the rest. And it's not that I'm sort of looking for a different angle, but it's an interesting story to look at. I saw a little cartoon this week that someone posted on Facebook, and there's an angel standing there and a couple of shepherds laying back in the field with their mobile phones, and they're saying, "Oh, sorry, dude, you're too late. It's already all over Twitter." And you know, what was our memory verse? What was the first line of our memory verse? When? Just at the right time. Now, I know if I was God, I'd be thinking, what's the right time, you know? If Jesus came today, it would be all over Twitter. It would be all over Facebook. It would be all over everything. The whole world would know within minutes of what had happened. But that wasn't God's plan. God didn't want to do it that way. He wanted to do it in a way that just was something that was not expected at the right time. Now, I don't know why that was the right time, but I do know that in God's eyes it was the right time and the right place and the right people. Nothing like what we would have sort of planned and thought would be the best way of doing it, because we would have had great ideas of how it could have so much impact. But here, sitting out in the fields, some lowly shepherds, and they were lowly, they were the lowest of the caste because they did simple manual work out in the fields. They were not particularly a glorified job. That was an important job, for sure. But here they were, out in the fields. One at least of them was on watch, and the angel turns up. And they have this amazing experience and of angels speaking to them, revealing that God's Saviour had been born. And of course, after they get over their fear, decide to race off immediately and see what they've just been told about. And this is a bit of a puzzle to me, the next little bit, where it says, so they went off. When the angels left them and went to heaven, they said, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off. So it sounds like it wasn't, they just didn't sit around till morning and make some decisions. They probably went straight away by the sounds of it. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. Well, I'd like another few paragraphs in there. What happened when they turned up? You know, we don't hear anything of what the actual experience of arriving, meeting them, hearing the stories, whatever it was. What did they think when they saw Jesus? It was just, I'm sure they didn't just poke their head around the corner and say, oh, there he is, just like they said. Let's go back and tell everybody. It just leaves it all out. And it's sort of a little bit to our imagination as to what it was. You know, did they spend some time with him? Did they cuddle baby Jesus? Did they hear Mary telling the story of how the angel came to him and she was going to have a baby from God, not from man? And, you know, what sort of conversation took place? I'd love to know, but it's not there. But nevertheless, they obviously were so impacted by this meeting of Mary, Joseph and the baby, finding it just as the angels had said it was, that they just couldn't help but going straight out of there and proclaiming, with enthusiasm by the sounds of it, spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. So the shepherds obviously had a very powerful, positive testimony that was amazing to the people who were hearing it. And I'm sure it wasn't just, oh, we saw a whole bunch of angels. It was all about Jesus as well. And so we see here probably the very first evangelists in the New Testament sense of sharing the good news that God has sent his son into this world. Proclaiming this, going around, telling everyone, and people were amazed to hear that story. And I guess there's something about that that I want to challenge us today. You know, when Donnie and Richie and I were sitting down a few weeks ago thinking about what Christmas messages we were going to sort of focus on leading up to Christmas, and thinking about some of these issues, and we're looking at the different passages, we're just sort of sharing how do we personally approach Christmas. And I thought about that, and I thought, yeah, how do I approach Christmas? You know, I've been around for a lot of them, and most of them I've been a Christian. Well, all of them I've been a Christian in the sense of I've been in a Christian home. And so we've always focused very much on the Christmas story, and it's so familiar, and I know all the bits and pieces of it, that it's hard to get a freshness. And so I guess for me, the thing that I do is my own contemplation of trying to come back to the simplicity of the story, of how amazing it is that God himself would come as a baby into this world for my salvation, to live and demonstrate what it means to be truly human, and then die in my place so that I too can begin to come the man that I was meant to be by faith in Jesus and the power of his Holy Spirit, never becoming perfect but always having capacity to grow in that. And just my own contemplation seems to be the thing that I've been focusing on a lot. And as I've been thinking that through this year, I'm thinking, is my own refreshment of that story enough? Because there's an awful lot of people who don't know that story and who've never experienced the reality of that story for themselves, who don't know that God sent his only son into the world because he loved all of us. And I'm thinking about he loves me. And it began to dawn on me that contemplation is one thing, but proclamation is another of the story. And I think times have changed. And we have to think more seriously as Christian people what it means to proclaim the Christmas story. When I was a child growing up in Melbourne, we had a tradition that leading up to Christmas, we would always go into the city, which was a big deal for little kids who lived out in the suburbs, and look at the windows of Myer. I don't know whether that happens in Brisbane, but Myer used to have windows where they had the Christmas display. And all these big panel windows, one after another, would be sequentially telling the story of Christmas. And so you get the whole, you know, shepherds, the wise men, and the manger scene, and the rest. And it was a highlight of Christmas. We've got a little tradition now, we go and see the Marucci Christmas lights and do that as a family with our extended family. But that was what we did when we were kids. I'm not sure if it was last year or the year before, but anyway, in the last couple of years, I happened to be in Melbourne for some Baptist Union meetings in December, and just for a couple of nights. So one night I thought, I'll go down and look at the Christmas windows in Myer. So I go down to look at the Christmas windows in Myer. And there's crowd control, there's, you know, those things you've got to wind through to get to the window, and all these people thronging along. I go down and have a look, Here it is. What do they call them? Little bears. What are those little bears? I don't know. Care Bear type things. Yeah, something like that. Amazing animated things of Care Bears telling nursery rhymes. One panel after another of nursery rhymes. And all these little kids, you know, and families. And then, right down the far side, past the big doors, there's one little panel that couldn't be wider than that, with a very static manger scene. And one little family standing there, peering at it. I thought, how different. And I've also been reflecting on the fact that, do you notice how much of the Christian story has been recently being taken out of everything that happens at Christmas? You know, we now call it the festive season, not the Christmas season in many places. It's inappropriate to sort of make too much religious comments because it might offend people of other religions now that we're a multicultural society. You know, schools are not allowed to sing carols, they're allowed to sing jingle bells and, you know, Santa songs and things like this. It's coming more and more and more. And so I'm beginning to think that when I grew up, the Christmas story was central to Christmas, the true Christmas story. But today, you can go through the whole Christmas season and hear nothing about Jesus. And I'm sure many families, that's their experience. It's all focused on Santa and presents and family get-togethers and holidays. And Jesus is sort of vaguely in the background, maybe, that there was a baby born. But the true message of Christmas, where is it? I'm beginning to think that what I need to start thinking more about is not my own contemplation, but how am I proclaiming the Christmas story to the people around about me when there's an opportunity? And I don't know that I've made any great progress this Christmas, but it's challenged me to be rethinking the fact that, you know, just like the shepherds went out and told the good news, how am I going out to tell that good news? How am I maybe just in some way repointing people to Jesus rather than all these other things that are taking its place in this celebration? Now, some people say that Christmas really was just taking over a previous pagan festival and turning it into a Christian festival. Well, if that's the case, we're now turning the Christian festival back into a pagan festival, and we need to be thinking about how we can, as Christians, keep the story of Jesus coming into this world alive for the people around us. So no more does the world do it for us, society and schools and everything else. It's coming back more onto us. And so how are we keeping this true story of Christmas alive for the people around about us and letting them know that a Saviour has come into this world and that we have a message of good news, of great joy, of hope, of peace through what God has done. Now, I'm not saying that one is better than the other, because the next little bit talks about Mary. Now, Mary, of course, has had 9 months to be living with this understanding that God's Son has come into the world, because he's already been within her. She's been reflecting with that with Elizabeth, who had prophecies about John, and sharing together 3 months, the first 3 months of her pregnancy that she spent with Elizabeth. I guess reflecting on what this all means. And her song of how amazingly blessed she is. You know? Just 9 months to get used to a lot of this. And so when it all happens, it's not brand new for her. His actual birth is, but she's been with Jesus for a while. Jesus has been within her, and she knows him. And so for Mary, it's not so much the excitement of something that's immediately brand new, it's the realization of something that she's known for a long time that's been coming. And so what she is more into is the contemplative, thinking through what this really means. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, I'm sure everyone who came and visited Jesus, Mary had a story to tell. But it wasn't like she was racing out proclaiming it. She was just sitting with that story. And I think, like it says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within you. And, you know, Well, she had the hope within her for a while. Now he's out. But the hope that she had in who Jesus was, I'm sure she was very ready to tell that story. And I'm sure that was part of the story that was told to the shepherds, who then went out and excitedly told it to others. And so there's different things. There's seasons, there's times, there's personalities. There's those who are evangelists and those that are more just witnesses who are prepared to tell the story when the opportunity's there and share the story. And so I'm not saying all of us need to suddenly turn into evangelists and race down the shopping centre and start telling people, Christmas is all about Jesus, you know. but there's times and opportunities and places and even just a quiet word about things that can actually just point people to Jesus instead of to a lot of the stuff that's happening around us. And you know, there's nobody who isn't a person that Jesus didn't come for. And he came, as we just mentioned at the beginning, to the simple, ordinary people of life. Mary was no one particularly special, apart from being in the line of generations that was going to be where the Messiah came from. Joseph was no one special to be there and bring him up. They were just ordinary people that God chose. An ordinary time in history. Ordinary people that it was revealed to in terms of the shepherds. Yes, there was the wise men. You know the interesting thing about the wise men, I reckon, is that they were seeking spiritual knowledge, probably were astrologers and looking for signs and things like that. And so even God reveals to those who are seeking spiritual enlightenment in other ways that draws them towards a spiritual search that makes them open to be in a place where God can reveal himself to them. And so even those people are into all sorts of other religions, at least they're on a spiritual journey, at least they're looking for truth, even if it's not in the right place. And there could be an opportunity for us to be the ones who are, in a sense, the angels, to proclaim the truth to them and show them where the reality lies in that. Now, again, I would love to know what happened when the wise men, the Magi, left and went home. Did they proclaim the gospel? I'm sure there's lots of traditions. I haven't Googled it, but you probably can. Someone tells me that there's even names, supposedly their names and everything else out there. But there's lots of stuff we're not told. But there's a story to be told at Christmas. And less of it is publicly visible to people. More and more of it is going to depend on us as those who know Jesus, to be sharing that story and telling the truth to people about God loved them so much that he sent his son into this world to save them. So I want to pray that perhaps in some little way we'll get an opportunity this week or in the next couple of weeks while it's still the topic of the season to just put in a word somewhere to point people more to Jesus rather than all the other stuff that's become part of the tradition. Lord, I thank you that you loved us so much to come into this world in a simple, humble way, that there's no one too humble, too lowly for you not to care about. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given responsibility to us who do know you to share the good news with others. May we shine that truth out, and I pray that each one of us will have at least one opportunity in some way, somewhere, just to point someone to the fact that Christmas is about Jesus. Tell one little bit of the story, or one little bit of our own story that reflects why Christmas is important to us. And that we could be your instrument in bringing truth and life and light and hope and faith and love into someone else's life through what you can do in their life if they open up to you. So Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate your coming. And help us to be part of the truth-telling of this season. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.